Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Hey guys, it's your boy Dylan here, and I just wanted to talk to you guys about our sponsor for today's show, as we are part of the Believe Podcast Network, and that is Bet Online. We are back and better than ever. A new web interface for the rest of the NBA season and more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online remains your number one spot for all the basketball and football action this season. Head to the new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code BELIEVE50 to receive your bonus. That is BLEAV50 to receive your bonus. That is all capitalized. From basketball, football, NHL, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. And welcome back, everybody, to another edition of the Topic Thunder podcast. I'm your host, Dylan Hunsinger at Thunder Chats, and I am joined on the West Coast at 1:50 a.m. Eastern Standard Time in the morning. The one, the only, Stephen Dolan. Stephen, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing really good, and I'm happy to be here. I'm probably not the one and the only. I think there's probably more than one of me out there, more than one Stephen Dolan, if I had to guess.
I think at some point, whenever I got you going, I'm like a rant or a tirade, I'm going to look up more Stephen Dolan's just to, you know, just for the culture. We'll figure it out. But yeah, Dolan, definitely wanted to have you on. I mean, obviously it's great to have you on at any time, but your expertise when it comes to, you know, what this team is doing and the rebuild process and the tank battle, specifically in the end of the season, the scenarios need to happen. And you know, the different matchups that we've been facing the past few games, definitely want to have you on to talk about that. And I guess the easiest way to, you know, start this off is just, you know, the last three Thunder games has just been just a tank of palooza. And I mean, the best way to jump into it is, you know, talking about the Thunder Trailblazers game, the legendary Thunder Trailblazers game, in which we won 134-131 in overtime. And Isaiah Roby was the savior of that game. Tao Maledon played a great game. Everybody played really good that game, and that was a really important tank game. So I'm just going to kick it off to you there, man. What was your thoughts in that game?
Yeah, it's just unfortunate that we got the one game where Portland actually played really well. And then all our guys played really well too. By the way, you called it my expertise on the subject. I think obsession's probably a better word. I don't know if I'm an expert, but I am obsessed with it enough to think about it a lot.
Hey, tomato, tomato.
Yeah, I'm not mad at Isaiah Roby, but I am mad that shot went in. You know, like it's not like I'm like, Isaiah, I hate you for it. But it is like, I wish that didn't happen, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Twitter was a real dumpster fire, you know, after the fact. And, you know, there was a lot of people that was, you know, like you were saying, like, you know, mad at the players. And obviously, you know, it's been said a million times over. And it's obvious when you see the product, like the players, when the ball is tipped, like they're going to go 100%. The coaches are going to go 100%. They're going to play to win the game. And we saw that when Mark, I think late in the game, subbed back in Isaiah Roby and Andrew Wiggins to close the game. They made sure that, you know, they was in position to win the game, and they was going to try to win the game. And you know what? That's their jobs, and we can't fault them for it.
I thought we had it though. Well, we were down 8 with like, I don't know, a couple minutes left. I thought we had it. And shots started going in, and theirs stopped going in. It's unfortunate, but, you know, realistically, that's not one that you really expect to be able to lose going in. Even with the lineup, the roster we were throwing out there, I was still like, there's a pretty solid chance that we still win this game. It just sucks to feel like you had it in the bag and then lose it like that, win it like that. I don't know. It's all very confusing. You called him the savior. I almost like stopped you there. It's it's really hard to talk about this stuff sometimes.
Yeah, it definitely hurt, especially, you know, it's like a few games ago, I think the Magic and like the Pistons won. And if we would have lost to whoever we was playing to, we would have been tied for, I think, second in the odds, and we won and stayed at fourth. So it's all very convoluted. It's all very annoying. But
And that's another one. So that was Orlando, right? And we got us, we had played two games against Orlando and we split. And that's probably about as good as we should have expected. But still, it's just like the opportunity was there to do better.
Yeah. And what's funny about Orlando and even the Pistons, and, you know, we'll talk about the Pistons game as well. Like, you know, as we've talked about on Twitter, on the pod a million times, like Thunder's been kind of made the face of tanking for the NBA. And a lot of it is because, you know, they've pulled all their guys, like all the levers have been pulled, like, you know, Shea, Dort, Giddey, all the way down to like Trey Mann, Poku, Kendrick Williams, like, you know, they've all been pulled. And then the Magic and the Pistons, they'll play their guys, but they play them for like a few minutes at a time. And so like they give the illusion that they're not tanking because their players are active, but I almost think that's worse, like personally. So what do you think about that? Do you wish that we played our guys a few minutes, or do you think like we're going the right way on this?
I think we're going the right way. I don't think it's worse or better. I don't think it's a I don't think it's a moral issue. I think our way is better strategically because you don't have 5 minutes of good players out there to threaten to do well.
You don't have Trey Mann hitting 7 threes in a quarter.
Right. Right. Hey, his hamstrings messed up, Dylan. Hey, you're not rest he's it up, man. Not healthy. Okay.
Yeah, I got you, man. And you know, I mean, kind of moving on, you know, we got back on track against the Hawks, which it's kind of funny. Whenever we potted last, you know, we was making predictions for the end of the year. And I think we most of us said 2 wins, and I was like, I'm gonna be different. I'm gonna say we split one of the Portland games and we beat the Hawks. But that was before Shea was rolled out for the season. So I hold on to that, which is why the prediction was dead wrong. But yeah, we got back on track with the Hawks. Trae Young was doing Trae Young things, and then we'll jump into the you know, the aforementioned Pistons. Like I said, Cade, Isaiah Stewart, and Sadiq Bey. I remember your tweet, actually. You was like, they're all playing. They're all active. I'm like, you know, we was excited. It's supposed to be a good thing.
Yeah.
And then after about 5 minutes, they all went out and never came back in.
Yeah, just sitting there watching the benches like, they got to come back in soon, right? They've been out for so long. And then it just never happened. And then they didn't start the second half. And it was just like, oh, okay. So they've thrown in the towel very aggressively. They're trying to beat us over the head with the towel. Yeah, the thing about, so like the Hawks game, the thing about when you get this late in the season is it's almost more important what the team you're playing has to play for than it is who the team you're playing is.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So like the Hawks really need wins right now, and they just beat the Nets actually right before we started recording. And that was a huge win for them because now they are sitting on the good side of the play-in where they only have to win 1 out of 2 games. And so, yeah, the rest of the season, they're going to need to win. And so we happen to catch them at a good time. The problem is, like, our next game is against Phoenix, and they have nothing to play for. Now, that's better than, say, like the Clippers last year when they actively wanted to lose. It's better than that. But it's not as good as if they wanted to win, because I think we see that they're sitting Ayton, Booker, and Crowder. But Chris Paul is playing. Now we'll see how many minutes he plays. But
yeah, that's the key.
Hopefully that's enough. I wouldn't be surprised if he just like plays the first half.
Hey, hopefully that's enough. But I mean, even in his Thunder days, Chris Paul really did like his damage scoring like late in the game. Like he would poke and prod you and like, you know, figure out what's going on defensively, like the first half, and then the second half he just murder you. So, you know, if they take that away, that's going to hurt us in terms of winning the game, because, you know, it's like we talked about, like, you know, this team isn't just going to roll over. Like, they're not just going to bow at whoever's in front of them, no matter who's out there. And, you know, that there's something to be said about that. The fact that, you know, while we are putting out these lineups, these guys continue to go out there and compete at the highest level and, you know, defend their butts off. And, you know, there's something to be said, not only about, you know, their effort, but the coaching staff that OKC has assembled and Mark Daigneault and his guys. So, you know, it's whenever we win these games, it's like crap because tank position, but also it's like, you know, there's some good behind it, I guess.
Right. Yeah. It's hard to be. So it's a much better situation than if you want to win the game and then you lose, because there's no silver lining. Yeah. At least this way we're like, hey, at least the players play well. Now that lining is less silver at this point in the season, because there's probably not a player on the court that really matters to our future.
Fair.
Like when it's Shea or Giddy or Dort or I don't know, Poku or Trey, like when one of them wins us a game, it's easier to be like, well, at least that's a guy we care about showing out and showing a lot of a promise. But when it's like Isaiah Roby, it's hard to get excited about that. But still, at least it's, you know, a win. So there's still that little bit of happiness.
Yeah,
I suppose.
Well, Dolan, you know, we got the Suns, like we talked about, coming up, I guess, today. for me, anyways. Yeah, we got the Trailblazers, the Jazz at Utah. So our last three games are on the road against Utah, Lakers, and Clippers. And, you know, like you said, you know, it's very important who, like, what the teams we're playing have to play for. The Jazz have been spiraling. I don't really know where they stand in the playoffs right now.
Let's see. Jazz right now are tied with Denver for the six.
Yeah. So they'll be
the 6/7. And so they're two games ahead of Minnesota. So they're not clear of Minnesota. So they're going to need to win that one.
Yeah. Or else they could be in what, the Leafs go home playing game.
They could be the 7 seed, so they'd be at the top of the play-in, but they'd still win.
Right, I got you. Well, and then also speaking of a team that's been absolutely spiraling, the Lakers, who even after bringing back LeBron and AD, still managed to lose to the Pelicans. And what are they? They're like a game and a half back, 2 games back from the Spurs in the same spot.
They're 1 game back, but the Spurs have the tiebreaker, so they're 2 games back, really. And they go Denver, Phoenix, Golden State, Oklahoma City, Denver to close.
Yeah, so they need that Thunder game very badly. Yeah.
Well, so Denver's going to want to win. Phoenix won't care again.
Yeah.
Golden State probably won't have Curry. So they could they could win out. Like that's feasible. Now one of the things that is good for us is that LeBron needs to play a few more games to get this to qualify for the scoring title. And he's gonna have to score a lot in those games to hold on to it. He probably is gonna play meaningful minutes against us. LeBron should be enough, right?
Hopefully. You would think
LeBron just trying to score, that should do it.
Yeah, you he shows up and Isaiah Roby ends up guarding him and holds him to like 15 points, and we win by 4. What the heck? And then of course the last one. You know, we're doing it again, part two of the Thunder versus Clippers in LA. They will probably have Paul George. I think I heard Norm Powell might be back. maybe not for that game, but
yeah. And they're probably not gonna. So there's a path to them caring about that game. It's mm-hmm. a narrow path. The most likely scenario is that they don't care one way or another. But it could happen. And if they do care, it would be kind of nice for us to be able to knock them down to the 9 seed. That would be a fun last game of the season. Now, for us to really be able to enjoy that, it would mean that Oklahoma City needs to be locked into our lottery slot, which isn't looking promising because we're neck and neck with Detroit. So it would require Detroit winning a couple. And they do play the Pacers, but they would have to grab another one for us to really just throw caution to the wind in the last game.
I got you.
But, you know, like if we want to lose that game, which is probably the case, like we just saw the Clippers like go off against the Bucks when neither team cared to win. So they still have some guys, some vets.
Yeah, who was it? Rico dropped like 43 points or something?
Yeah, I think he made 10 3-pointers.
That was ridiculous. I did not think he had that in him anymore. But, I mean, yeah, it goes to show you, man, though. NBA players, that's what they do. I do want to mention, you know, I think in the Pistons game, whenever they pulled Pokey last minute with flu-like symptoms, knocked us down to 7 players. And so we signed Jalen Horde to a 10-day, I believe. And
yeah.
Casually, you know, of course, went out there and grabbed 20 rebounds in his first NBA action all season. So shout out Jalen Horde. Hopefully you get some more playing time down the stretch, because we could probably use some Jalen Horde. We could probably use a few more 10-day contract guys. Like, who's that dude on the Magic? That Doughton guy that they played against us. I was like, that's a tank move, just having that guy on the court. Like, that's ridiculous. I never heard of this guy, and he's terrible. But yeah, Dolan, let's
that's the whole Portland roster right now.
Yeah, I mean, I straight up looked at Portland's roster the other day, like when I was looking at the box score of the Spurs game, and I was like, I don't know. I was down to Greg Brown from the draft. I know Eubanks from I don't know where I know him from, actually. I just know the name. I know Keon from the draft. But after that, okay, well, I know Chris Dunn and Macklemore. But after that, like, who the frick are these people? Like, there's a Blevins. There's a Luzada.
There's a Blevins.
a Perry. Brandon Williams. Ellaby. Like, yeah, these are two decorated people.
That's the guy. I was watching that game on mute. And there's this account on Twitter called at Step Through Joe,
yeah,
who just like is just all about the propaganda of how the step through is a legal move and not a travel, and why. Mm-hmm. And so anytime I see one, I just tag him and tell him when it is, or if I see one in a video, I tag him. And so that guy did a step through that he missed. And so I just tagged him. I was like, it's at 3:22 left. I don't know what the guy's name is.
I love that you dropped the timestamp for him too.
Yeah, you gotta make it easy. I don't want him to have to watch the whole Thunder Blazers game. That's just cruel.
Just cruel and unusual punishment. Yeah, I love a good step through, man. So yeah, man. You know, like we said with those 5 games, I guess I'm just gonna ask you, man. What is I'm not gonna say what do you want to happen, because I think what you want to happen is we lose all 5. But what's your final prediction for these last 5 games? How many? What's our record here?
Oh, you have to think we're gonna beat the Blazers. Again, like you said, I don't want to, but I'll be pleasantly surprised if we're able to pull that one off. But I'm not expecting it. I wouldn't be surprised if we beat one of the LA teams at the end either. Just depending on how badly either of them wants that game, anything can happen. But so yeah, I'll say we finished with 23 wins. Now what we need to hope for is basically that Detroit beats the Pacers tomorrow/today for you.
Mm-hmm.
That's their like last real winnable game. So if we could do that and at least get the tie for the third lottery slot, that would make me feel pretty good.
Then we're back at a coin flip.
Yeah, we're at a coin flip, but it's a coin flip a spot higher than it was last year.
That is fair. That is fair. And
we could end up with, we could still end up in the four, but we would get a couple extra percentage points on that four than we did last year.
I like it. You know, if all else fails, I'll just flex on the coin like I did in that pick that I did on Twitter. So we can make some things work. But I wanted to ask you, Dolan, because before I get into this, let's take a break for a word from our sponsors.
Tons of people take multivitamins, but it's important to choose one that is top quality. With one delicious scoop of Athletic Greens, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to start your day right. Their special blend of ingredients supports gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, energy, recovery, focus, and aging. It's also lifestyle-friendly and fits a wide range of diets. There's only 1 gram of sugar and no chemicals or artificial anything. Reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. It's just one scoop in a cup of water every day. That's it. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1 year supply of immune supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/believe. That's BLEAV. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/believe. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Athletic Greens, take ownership of your health.
All right. I wanted to ask you, Dolan, because, you know, we've talked about this a million times, and I don't see you talk too much about it on Twitter, but I know that you're like aware, but you know, obviously we're looking to tank, we're looking to get high draft picks, but I don't think that we've got a good consensus on where you stand in terms of like the players that we can get in this. So I'm just going to ask you a couple draft questions if that's cool with you, man.
Okay. I can try.
All right. Well, we'll do what we can with it. All right, so first off, we've got the big one. It's pretty consensus. The top four, in some order, is Chet Holmgren, Jabari Smith Jr., Paolo Banchero, and Jaden Ivey. Paolo Banchero, whose team was eliminated by their rival North Carolina in a crazy game in the Final Four today. I guess we'll start there. You know, that's the consensus top four. Is that your consensus top four, and how would you rank those prospects?
Oh, sure. I don't really get into my draft research until the end of the season. Now I pay attention to the top four.
So there you go.
That's I have been paying attention to that, and I'm in no position to make a bold statement that any of them don't belong. Since the beginning of the season, so I'm in Seattle, and where Paolo's from, and so I've been aware of him for a little while, and he was my guy going into the season. But the more I really thought about what would make me happiest is, I think it's Chet. I think he would take a little bit to develop, and I want to be bad again next year, to be honest. Mm-hmm. That's kind of a factor in it. But I also think he probably has the highest ceiling. Now that comes with a low floor too, but that's really what I'm looking for, is a high ceiling. And I just have this pipe dream of getting Chet and playing him next to Victor Wembanyama, getting him the next draft, and then just like having this, it's almost like somebody took the Cleveland Twin Towers front court and just like stretched it out a little bit more.
Literally stretched it out. I made them thinner and longer.
Yeah. Just stretch them like taffy.
Yeah.
I want that. I think that would be a lot of fun, and they can all like, I think Chet and Victor are also both better shooters than Mobley was supposed to be, and obviously better shooters than Jared Allen is. Mm-hmm. So I just think it would be this really cool modern switch some things and just like arms and legs flying everywhere. And then you pair that with Shea and Giddy, who are really tall, like as our guards. And then let's just throw Poku out there as our small forward.
That's a really big a star lineup there. Yeah,
6'6", 6'8", 7 foot, 7'2",
7'3". Sheesh.
I want it. That'll be so much fun.
Yeah, passing lanes be hard to get passes off there. So, all right, so you got Chet number one. So, how would you rank the other three? So, you said Paolo is your guy going in. Is he your number two? Is he number three? What you thinking?
Yeah, I think he's number two because what I'm really looking for is a superstar.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Jabari is probably the safer pick, but probably caps out as a super duper role player.
Like a Mikal Bridges type guy?
Yeah, like a play finisher. I know I've heard people compare him to Rashard Lewis, and that seems pretty good, which people would hate on that. Like, you're going to pick Rashard Lewis at the top of the draft. Like, yeah, he was really, really good. He, like, made an all-star team or two, and, like, that's never a failure of a draft pick when you get a guy who scores 20 points a game for a few years.
Yeah.
But he I don't think he's going to be the – like, go get me a bucket at the end of a game type guy. And maybe we don't need that really with Shea and Giddey already on the roster, but I'm still looking for a superstar. And that's kind of the qualifiers, like, who can go get you a bucket at the end of a game.
And Paolo's that guy for you?
Yeah, I think so.
Yep, that's fair. So would you have Jabari right under him, or you got Jaden Ivey above him?
Yeah, I'll put Jabari third, and then Jaden Ivey. I don't know what to think about him. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if he shot the ball really well this year, right? Last year it was not good. Nah. So, like, you're still dealing with short seasons in college, and I haven't watched enough to really be able to say, yeah, that shot's real or not. So I'll just defer to people who are smarter than me. And seems like a lot of people have him four, so I'm just going to go with that. It's not my opinion. I'm just like, yeah, that makes sense to me.
Yeah, that's fair. I've been saying this about all four of them, and I'll say it and see how you agree. But I said, you know, and you even said this, you know, Chet, I think, has the highest ceiling. Jabari, I think, is the most seamless fit. Paolo, I think, has the most immediate impact. And Jaden Ivey's just like, you know, the best of the rest. And that's kind of been my stance on it. And so, you know, what do you think about that? Would you agree Jabari is like best fit, Paolo's most immediate impact? What do you think?
Yeah, I could also see Paolo taking a little bit on defense.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, most immediate impact maybe on offense, but also negative impact on defense. So yeah, probably even out. I think Jabari would probably be the most, like, to bring up Cleveland again, kind of how Mobley just fit in there and just perfectly filled a lot of the gaps on their roster.
Yeah.
And kind of completed them and actually made them good. So maybe that kind of contributes actually to why I have Jabari third. Because I'm like, stay away from me, man. Like,
you don't want this to offense the
function. Yeah, you might get us flirting with the play-in, and that's just not what I want personally. I know there's a lot of people who do want that, and I respect that. I'm looking for one more year. One more year.
Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked either way. I don't think that we're going to really go into next season with, like, a goal in mind, you know, depending on where we draft, like, where we draft. Like, say we pick somebody in the top three, and, you know, lo and behold, we get, like, a lower lottery pick with the Clippers pick. And, you know, we go into this season, kind of see what happens. And, you know, maybe around the trade deadline, all-star break, like, you know, we're sitting in that playing contention. And, you know, maybe they decide that they want to keep going with it. Or maybe they pull more levers. Like, you know, we've seen they have the ability to do that. So I think it'll add a new element to the season next year that we haven't had the past couple of years. So it'll be interesting. It'll be fun. But yeah.
And just since you mentioned it, in terms of the Clippers pick, whether or not they fall from 8 to 9, like, there's still a good chance they could lose the play-in. I know Paul George is back and he's playing great. But it's one game. And we just saw in the tournament, like, single elimination, anything can happen, right? Like, somebody like Kentucky could lose the.
Oh, come on, man. Shut up. Why do you have to bring that up? That's rough, man. Duke lost tonight. I'm supposed to be happy.
Right, like one game, anything can happen, and the Wolves are on fire, so like they're not a pushover for the Clippers in the first game, and that's going to be in Minnesota.
Cat will be a huge matchup problem for them.
Yeah, and then the Clippers are going to get like if they lose that game, then they're going to get the Pelicans or the Lakers or the Spurs, and you know, it's one game. Like anything can happen. Paul George goes cold for one game. We've seen it happen before.
Like up close and personal.
And if they fall out of the play-in, then we're going to get the 12th lottery slot from them.
Yep. Hey, I'm down for it, man. I'm hoping for it. So I you know, we're about to, like, you know, like we said, the season's about to end. We're definitely going to like really dive into the draft, you know, once that season really ends. You know, all our draft experts that we bring on, like, you know, we're going to have all the draft opinions that you guys could ever ask for. But, you know, looking at the top of the draft, as good as these guys are, they all have things that kind of held them back. And you could see, you know, that translating differently in the NBA. Like Jaden Ivey, like, played with zero spacing. I mean, they played with, you know, two bigs that clogged up the lane most of the time. Paolo, you know, he was on a team, people like to say, with five potential first-round picks. Trevor Keels is not a first-round pick. I don't care what you guys say. He's not going in the first round. But, you know, there was a lot of wealth to share on that Duke team. Jabari, if you ever had to watch an Auburn game, those two guards, Wendell Green and KD Johnson, just absolutely terrible. They forgot Jabari Smith was on their team at the end of games, so – I personally think they held Jabari back like tremendously. And Chet was, you know, the lone freshman on like a veteran laden Gonzaga team. And, you know, as good as he was throughout the season and then the tournament, you know, that team was Nimbard and Drew Timmy's team. And Chet was kind of, you know, just a piece that fit in there. So I do think all these guys can benefit more in the NBA system. And I do think that they were held back a little bit by their situation. So, it'll be interesting to see how their games translate.
There's one thing they won't be in Oklahoma City. It's held back. Unless they're too good.
At the end of the season. It's like,
and then we will hold them back.
Take a seat. And Chet, you're walking kind of funny there, man. Why don't you take a seat for a while?
And he's like, that's just how I walk, guys.
All right. Kind of closing this out, I do want to ask you, you know, we talked about the top four. And, you know, obviously you have your opinions on the top four. And I know you said
kind of.
Yeah, you don't really dive in, I guess, to the rest of the draft. But if there was a guy that, well, let's say a couple guys, because I know you're a huge proponent of the best player available, like no matter what, to boot. So I'll say, because we don't need a guard. Like, I mean, you know, if we get Jaden Ivey, cool, but like, we're not going to draft Ty Washington. We're not going to draft Ochai Agbaji. You know, I don't think we're going to draft a guard unless it's like Jaden Ivey. So if you was to highlight a wing and a big that you kind of have your eye on, who would they be?
Let's see. So I've been seeing mock drafts where PBJ is going like second round.
Oh yeah.
And I know he had a rough season. Like, I get it. And I know that he didn't seem to like care at times about having the rough season. Like, I understand all the concerns, but this is a guy that like people were really excited about, that he would be like a top five pick going mm-hmm. into the year. And I know it doesn't always work out. We saw BJ Boston, like he's with the Clippers and he looks okay sometimes, but he's kind of the same thing where people thought he was going to be a top five pick. And then he kind of flamed out at school and ended up going early in the second round. I'm all in on trying things like that out. Like I would have been pretty happy if we had taken BJ Boston with one of our early second rounders. That would have been great to me. Like, that's a high upside swing where you're getting the talent that everybody saw and maybe buying low on it. So I guess that for wings, and I don't know. I don't know about bigs. If we don't get one of these, if we don't get Chet, I mean, I don't want to. Realistically, the odds of us like getting our center of the future later in the draft, it's not something that excites me.
So, Jalen Duren doesn't move you.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, so my ideal scenario would be to trade up with the Clippers pick if it lands at 15 or 12 mm-hmm. or something. I would love to get up into the 6 to 10 range or something like that by throwing, like, if it takes like four extra picks, just coming out of this draft with like a top, one of those top four guys, and then another potential blue chip guy, it would really make me a happy camper on draft night.
Yeah.
And if it's Durin, I guess I wish he could shoot at all.
I, you know, speaking of guys in bad situations, Durin was in a very crappy situation at Memphis. Had a lot of people questioning if Penny Hardaway was a good coach or not. And, you know, they had the whole Amani Bates experiment running point guard, and that was a disaster. So Durin had a very weird season as well. So I don't think that can not be factored in, but
no,
I
mean, totally. But he still can't shoot though, right?
Yeah, I mean, I've seen, you know, not three pointer. No, I think he's has potential to, you know, have like 15 to 20 footer, but yeah, three pointer right
and
now.
And that's probably just me like going too far in the new age NBA direction. Like there's still a place in the league for dunker defender archetypes, like you see them all over the place, but I don't know, it's a big check in the wrong column just right off the bat. So he's really got to like kill every single other category for him to have a like star upside.
Yeah, and you know, talking about your point, like there's, I don't know, there's just weird fixation with Thunder fans about like getting a lob threat, like quote unquote, like that's the words that they use for Shea and Giddey. And, you know, I'm all for lob threats. Like, you know, Steven Adams, like the Russell Westbrook, Steven Adams pick and roll, like in the early days was like so much fun to watch. But when you look at this team, you look at Giddey, you look at Shea, like I still prioritize spacing in a big man. Like, you know, I want spacing all over the floor. Like I want Shea to have the most spacing in the league because he's had the most little spacing in the league ever since, you know, the team became his. And, you know, I want spacing all over the floor. And, you know, I'm not asking for Karl Anthony Towns like shooting over 40% from three or anything like that. But like, for example, like if you bring in Jabari Smith Jr. and he shoots like 36-37% from three, and he's still athletic enough, he could be a lob threat. Like, you know, I think you can have your cake and eat it too. When it comes to bigs like that, you know, you don't need a 40% 3-point shooter from the big position to space a four. Like if you're shooting around 36% as a big man, like, you know, people are going to respect you for that.
Yeah. And I'm, like you said, I'm a BPA guy, but at some point somebody has to be able to shoot. I mean, I believe Shea can shoot despite mm-hmm. his numbers this year. I think that's a shot selection thing this year. And it remains to be seen with Giddey. Well, you know, I still have hope. I'm not just marking it off like neither of these guys can shoot. They don't fit together, and or all three other people have to be knockdown shooters for this to work. But it wouldn't hurt. It never hurts for people to be able to shoot. And what if hypothetically Shea does settle in the mid-30s and Giddey never learns to shoot? Well, now you're already talking about two people on the court who can't shoot. So, mm-hmm. and that's about the limit. Like the Thunder got away with two because we had KD, and like two's about as much as you can do with any kind of success these days in the NBA.
Yep. All right, man. Last question here. I just have I have three guys that I want to ask you about. One of which I think you'll find particularly amusing. But these guys kind of play the same position, you know, kind of the guard wing hybrid. So first you got Ben Mathurin out of Arizona. You got AJ Griffin out of Duke and Shaedon Sharpe out of Kentucky, assuming that he stays in the draft. That is yet to be seen. We don't know. Mm-hmm. I think that given Cal's recruiting success in this next year's class, I think he's going to try to pull out all the stops to bring Sharp back. But, you know, we'll see what happens. But
is it not a good class?
We was number one going into the year, like as the season started last year, but that was because we had the number one player in Shaden, but where he reclassified, he's not a part of that class. And we only have like two guys and they're great. Like they're McDonald's All Americans and stuff, but they're not like at the top of the class. So I think we're looking at a couple of guys we're trying to bring in, but yeah, it's not looking great. Duke's already, you know, they lost Coach K, but they already stocked back up with the number one recruiting class again. So
I feel like he's got he doesn't want to stick around a sinking ship, does he?
All right. He's not Jeremy Grant. Let's stop all that. But, yeah, those three guys, is there a preference order for you in your limited action, specifically limited action, get Shaden Sharp, but, you know, not diving into them, just kind of at face value, maybe seeing them in the tournament, what they've done. Is there an order for them for you?
Yeah. I like all three of those guys. I think I'd personally go Shaden. Is it Shaden or Shaden?
It's Shaden.
I've just seen it in print a lot. Shaden. Yeah. Shaden. Okay. Well, yeah, I think I would probably go that direction just for upside. And again, for like delaying the upside, which is just one of the things I really am enjoying about prospects this year. Yeah. People talk about like some GM is going to have to be crazy to like take a swing on this guy. And I mean, I guess, but we're not so far removed from they were drafting people straight out of high school. Mm-hmm. Like every year, like half the first round was straight out of high school. Maybe that's an exaggeration, but it's not like this is unheard of, them taking a swing on based on high school film. So I don't know if Presti has seen that film, and now it's not just high school, right? They play all this AAU stuff against other NBA prospects. They have mm-hmm. these big tournaments where they have to show out against similar competition. So like it wouldn't really scare me that much if Presti decided that he liked Sharp. And then I guess Griffin just for the shooting, because I love the shooting. And I know Mathurin can shoot pretty good too, but Griffin's on a whole other level as a shooter.
Yeah, you think that translates with his super wide base?
Yeah, I mean it doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
It doesn't bother me.
It's just funky.
Yeah, if it goes in, I don't care.
Yeah, that's fair. He didn't have a really great tournament. I think he really struggled today as well. So I don't know. I have pause in the back of my mind, but you know, you forget about how old some of these guys are. I think he's like almost a year younger than Shaden is. So
yeah, I also just in general hesitate to really react to the tournament all that much.
I'm trying not to.
We have like 35. We have like 35 games or whatever of these guys, and then we're gonna. Like, I just don't want to weigh. Maybe weigh the tournament games a little bit more, but it's just one of 35 at the end of the day.
Yeah, for sure. I feel that. And then Mathurin, he's just there. He's like the last of it.
Yeah, and I don't watch a ton of college basketball, but I watched that whole game. I don't even remember who did they beat where he was just like awesome down the stretch.
I can't remember. I gotta look it up now. It wasn't TCU. Well, I think that's the team that beat him.
No, I promise I did watch it though, and it was awesome. And he was just like it was impossible to look away from him. Like he hit that big three, and he had that possession where he got like four offensive rebounds. Mm-hmm. He was just all over the place. So I really like him.
He got a huge body too. Two guys
better. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a great dunk.
Yeah, it was against TCU. They lost they lost to Houston in the next game. Yeah, the thing I like about Mathurin is The thing I like about Mathurin is he's got that dog in him, man. Like he's just a really fierce competitor. And I really value that in the guy. Like, you know, going into the draft, one of the things that I love is a guy with like a, you know, incredible work ethic, a guy that's like going to lock himself in the gym. Like, you know, like, you know, I mean, we saw it with Russ. We see it with Shea in a different way, maybe less maniac like, but you know, I hang my hat on a guy with, you know, really strong work ethic. So I think Ben Mathurin strikes me as that type of dude.
Yeah, I can see that. On the other hand, Shaedon Sharpe may literally have been locked in a gym this whole year. We really don't know.
I can confirm he was at the games, but
that's a gym.
Hey, you know what? That's fair. I don't think he was locked in.
Has anybody seen him outside of a gym? That's what we need to know.
Yeah.
The guy lives in the gym.
Yeah, I think.
No, literally, he can't get housing.
I think that if Shaedon does end up coming out of the draft, then like that's going to hang over Cal. Like there's already a lot of Kentucky fans that want Cal out. And I think. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's been a decade since we won a championship. You know, it's different in Kentucky. You know,
a whole decade.
Yeah. No,
How long was it before that?
Like 98. So what's that? 14 years. A little bit over a decade. So yeah, no, I mean, I like Cal. I think that he did a phenomenal coaching job this year. I think that he's adjusted, you know, from being the guy that was grabbing one and done to, you know, now being the guy that's grabbing guys out of the transfer portal. I do think that, you know, we'll stock up on some guys out of the transfer portal as well, but if Sharp goes to the draft and, you know, puts his name in the draft and stays in the draft, I think that could really hang over Cal. Like, you know, you had this guy that was, you know, a top five, top 10 NBA draft pick, and you didn't play him. And we lost to a 15 seed. And, you know, who's to say, like, he was going to make the difference? But, like, you kind of got to wonder.
Who's to say he wouldn't have?
You know, yeah.
You never know. I just feel like, I don't know, like, it's crazy to me to be so the idea that fans are trying to get rid of him is crazy to me, because just with the tournament, the way the tournament works, there's so much randomness involved, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's not like the NBA where you get seven games, so like the best team wins.
Mm-hmm.
You can go into the tournament with the best team and just, it's just not your night and you get beat by the Peacocks randomly.
I will say St. Peter's, like, there was a very well coached team. Like that coach, I think what it's in the bag. You see on the Seton Hall now, I think.
Yeah. But yeah, I hate that. I get it. And I know, like, I saw people talking about that St. Peter's had like the smallest budget in the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And when they were recruiting, they were like keeping the players away from the gym so they wouldn't see the facilities.
Oh, man. That's tough.
And, yeah, he said he had a couple people's like sign on without ever seeing the practice, seeing the locker room, because he was like, we cannot bring them in there. And so, like, I get it. And I know Seton Hall, like, I'm sure he got a big raise, and that's just the way it goes. But I feel like every year these small schools come in and make a little run, and then their coach leaves the next year. And that makes me a little bit sad. Again, I get it. But going back, like, I don't know, the first one, like Florida Gulf Coast.
Yeah, I remember that.
I think OU's coach was one of those guys right now. Was he the Loyola guy? Something like that.
I trust you. I don't know. There was a time I knew almost every coach of, like, every major program. It is not that time in my mind right now.
Yeah, but maybe that, you know, it's for the best. It's for the best. Because, like, you get, like, what, Shaka Smart was at VCU for forever, and that just kind of petered out, right?
Yeah, and then he's kind of struggled where he's been at. There was another one, too, that was, like, a mid-major, and they transitioned Butler? Out. Yeah, Brad Stevens obviously went to the NBA, so, yeah. Yeah, there's opportunities. And, you know, my big thing with, like, if you're going to fire Cal, like, you know, who are you going to replace him with that's going to do a better job? So, and I'm not the guy to answer that because, like I said, I don't know coaches. So, all right, we've turned this into a college basketball podcast.
Maybe they can snatch Billy Donovan.
Oh, Lord. I've had enough of the widow's peak enough for my lifetime. But yeah, man, that's I think that's a good place to wrap it up. You know, we went on a college basketball diatribe. So Dolan, I just wanna, you know, thank you for coming on the pod. It was good talking to you again, man.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for staying up with me and go to bed.
I didn't stay up. I slept a good 3 hours. I set my alarm and I begrudgingly got out of bed. So part of me was hoping you didn't text back, but you did, dang it. So we got it done. But all right, guys, appreciate y'all for listening. Appreciate y'all's support. Yeah, the season's almost done. I do want to say just one more time, we have 5 games left. Just cherish it.
5 more.
This is Thunder basketball. You know, no matter who's on the court, you know, this is Thunder basketball. We're not going to be able to watch these guys play for another couple months. So enjoy the time that we have. But yeah, thank you guys for listening. Y'all have a great night. God bless. Get vaccinated. If you have not, wear a mask where you need to. Hoop when you can. I hoop today. I'm sore as frick. And as always, Thunder up.
Thunder up.
Thank you for listening to the Topic Thunder podcast. Our podcast is available to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Play, or anywhere else you listen to your podcast. Be sure to leave us a 5-star rating and a positive review, and follow us on Twitter at OKC Topic Thunder. Thunder up!
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.